Hi, welcome to FRA's Roundtable Insight. This is Richard Benulli. Today we have Judd Hirschberg back on the program show. Judd is president at White Wave Trading, a trading company and our partner for trading research consulting services at Cedar Gold. He's run proprietary trading groups, has over 45 years of trading experience, has developed awesome indicators and a repeatable process-based approach for trading the financial markets. Prior podcasts with Judd have focused on his approach and methodology and also updates on the financial markets. And today we'd like to understand what Judd is currently seeing in the financial markets across asset classes and jurisdictions. Welcome, Judd.
Thank you, Richard. It's a pleasure to be back.
Great. I thought we'd begin with a view on what you see in the bond market, where rates are heading, short-term, medium-term, and long-term.
Okay. I think that the interest rates are just a back and forth trade right now, mainly because everybody's wrong footed. All the hedge funds have got it wrong. And I'm going to show you that the yield today got down to an interesting level. It just basically stopped the market at the four. That's a 2-year average in the yield at 1.79. The futures set up a little bit differently. I thought the futures could get to 164.5 today, and they didn't do it. You really have to put together the futures and the yield curves. One chart I like to keep pulling out is this monthly 30-year bond futures. We've been holding this line, the top of the cloud, around 157, pretty much most of the year. And every time we get there, everybody decides rates are going up, the taper's on, and everybody's wrong-footed. If you look at the, from a timing perspective, if I just look at this skinny part of the cloud right here where it crosses over, you're really looking at a major inflection point coming at the end of the first quarter. So timing wise, if we're going to, rates are either going to start to go up or there's going to be some big adjustment in rates, that's when I'd look for it. In the meantime, I just think this is a back and forth trade with people trying to position themselves. And most people aren't doing a good job of it.
And so stemming from that, do you have ideas that you're looking at in terms of potential trades from your perspective?
Well, I'm not trading the bonds at all. Some of the guys in the room have been trading the bonds. And it's like gold. You can trade it from either side. It all comes down to trade location. And you can get some pretty good trades when everybody either gets really long or really short. I'm just looking at the bonds themselves as more of a reflection off of risk appetite right now. And I'm looking at the correlation with the long end of the curve. When the long end goes up, it's really the Russell that benefits with higher rates. Let's see if I have that chart. So you can see, this is long the Russell, short the 30-year futures. And on the days where the futures break, the Russell rallies and vice versa. Today, the 30-year futures rallied and the Russell broke, and hence the weakness in the spread. So I'm just looking at it as a short-term indicator at this point to help me trade the indices.
Mm-hmm. And what about the S&P 500 bond spread?
Okay, well, let's look at a couple of things here. Let's start out with the S&Ps themselves. This channel line that's highlighted in green goes back to the March low of 20. And we've held this every time we get to the top of the channel, something happens. And fundamentally, I never know what is going to be the catalyst. But we have the market comes back and fills. It goes back up, comes back and fills. And every time we've got up to the top of the channel, you know, we've backed off. Now we've come all the way back up here again. My target for this rally was 46.68.75. The top of the channel comes in at, it's not perfect, but let's just say 47.20. So we've basically gone to 47.12, which is pretty close. And it took a couple of days, and now we're trying to back off a little bit. This is a place to take risk off, not put it back on. And I remain bullish into the end of the year, but the market has to digest here before we go higher. Mm-hmm. And let me just minimize this so you can see the spreads. This is the S&P bond spread. There's nothing here that says that we can't go higher. As a matter of fact, it's just come down to a pretty good low today. You know, the weekly can still do some more work. This is NASDAQ bonds on a weekly. The daily topped last Friday. That's a topping pattern. Typically, these topping patterns all get negated at some point, but it's how far we go down before we go back up. And what's interesting about that is that over the weekend, there's Tesla, and Tesla's been running the indices of late for the last couple of weeks. And with Elon's tweets over the weekend, people started front running his divestment of 10% of his shares. Well, at the end of the day today, Tesla actually came in with some pretty decent support. And this is long Amazon, short Tesla. And pretty much in 2 days, it's just taken back a month's worth of work. So it's really how this trades from here, how the NASDAQ's going to trade. So that's what I'm focused on right now in the short term.
Mm-hmm. And can we take a look at your views on the semis and how when it gets down to the 200-day moving average low, that's a pretty good indicator. If you wanted to show that.
Yeah, last month I was all about the semis. Because this is a market where you really have to be patient and wait for your trade location. And I don't care what sector it's in, but you'll get the opportunity. In October, it was the semis at the 200-day moving average. And then once it started holding above the cloud, we had this very big move, and it's, you know, NXPI, AMD, all these names. And I still think there's a lot more to them, but now you know, this is it's a mature move. So you have to wait again to try to get some trade location in it. NXPI is the one that I like because it's basically going to be the guts of a lot of different things from a fundamental standpoint. And if you know, I'm looking at the all-time high at basically 229. And if you get a weekly close over 229, that will elect another move up, probably another $30, $40. So I'm waiting for that trigger or a decent sell-off so I can reload. I'm not going to buy strength up here. I'm not going to buy strength because of the spreads in NASDAQ bonds. And I'm not going to buy strength because we're at the top of value and the top of the channel in the S&P 500. So the ultimate, let's just say, now let's just talk about where I'd like to buy. I'd like to buy around 46 and a quarter down to 4,600 again in the S&Ps. So I'm looking for a reversal here to at least come down 46 and a quarter down to 4,590 is going to be the buy zone in the S&Ps on the next break. And I'm not sure we get that low, but if we get down there, that's where I'm looking to get long.
Interesting. And outside of semis, are there any other industry sectors that you like?
Well, you know, I like the industrials. I like materials with this infrastructure bill. You know, the industrials are just starting another leg up. So you actually have some trade location in here in the industrials on a weekly basis. Some of the names we looked at, even with Ira today, was ABB, Jacobs Engineering. You have to look at the big engineering groups to see who can benefit most from the infrastructure bill. Materials, you know, I don't like to buy these breakaway gaps to new highs. Now, I'd like to see a pullback there to get back into it. But even today, you know, at the end of the day, everybody wanted to be in this sector.
Okay, let's, if we can move into commodities, that's a lot to cover there. What are your thoughts are on some commodities? Let's take one at a time, maybe initially looking at cotton.
All right. Let me pull that up. Well, what interested me with the cotton is that this is the highest the cotton's been in years. And what does this really mean? You know, cotton is water intensive. And it looks like it has room to go higher. And there's going to be, you know, there are droughts in the West and in the South. There's water shortages everywhere. So that's an interesting driver for cotton. You know, if it's, you know, it might have another 10% in it.
Okay, interesting. And then looking at soybeans, wheat, and
all right, so let's look at, you know, we had a crop report today, and everybody was short. All the producers were short, and you had a rally. Now, I don't know if the rally's real or not. You know, from a fundamental standpoint, the Chinese have been buying their, bought most of the Brazilian crop. And the real's been weak, and it's just started a rally. And that alone leads me to believe that that's, it's the Chinese buying the real to buy the South American grains. Uh-huh. Here's soybeans in yuan that had a pretty good day. That just shows you where the demand's coming from. Corn, too, in yuan is probably one of the better looking charts. So I like corn more than I like the soybeans at this point. The wheat itself, I think if it can start holding over $8, it's going to go again.
Let's see, corn as well. Yeah,
so this is what I'm looking at, is the quarterly chart in the wheat. And I want to see it sustain back over $8.
Yeah, for the wheat, yeah.
And there is, hold on, let me get the right. Let's look at the wheat in Chinese demand. And that's been fairly constant. It's wheat denominated in yuan. So what I'm doing is I'm going to the individual commodity. Then I'm denominating it in either real or yuan to see where the price pressure is coming from and where the demand's coming from. Mm-hmm. And we can take a look at gold if you want. Yeah. I like the low in gold.
Gold and silver.
At from the other day at 1765, we were live in the room, and I basically said that gold had bottomed mainly, and I'm going to give you a really good primer here on why I liked it. What we like to do is we're always looking for confirmation, okay? Always looking for confirmation in other places that a level is correct. So when gold went down into the high 1750s, I said that was the bottom in gold in the room live trading. And you could buy it here before you sold it. I confirmed it by looking at gold denominated in euros on the same day. Now, this pink bar is a Wednesday. I like to look for contra trend moves midweek to go the other way. I'm never following Wednesday, I don't follow Wednesday weakness, and I don't buy Wednesday strength. I'm looking to go the opposite way for a trade. Here, gold denominated in euro went right down to its 50-day, and this green line is a 50% balance line, so it was basically halfway back for the last move. It was a perfect setup against the bottom of the cloud and here for a really big rally. So that's a $70 rally out of there in the gold. Those are the types of matches that we look for in the room. Ira likes them. I like them. excuse me. But, that's what I do when I'm doing my work. I want confirmation on cross assets, whether it's a good low or a good high that I can trade against and manage risk.
Mm-hmm. And what about on the silver chart? Does that look similar to the gold chart, or do you see differences?
I hadn't taken a look at the silver. The gold was a better looking match that day, much better. Where's my silver? And I hadn't looked at see, here's the same day in the silver. Hold on. Into the same type of number. Bottom of the cloud, that's a Wednesday. Into the balance number, and the silver rallied a buck. But the gold was the feature to me. It was just a better setup with less risk. Now, the other interesting charts that I've been following, and I'm going to pull them up here so you can see it. Let this build a second. There we go. What this is the NASDAQ times the 30-year yield. And this is the S&Ps times the 30-year yield. So you can see that the NASDAQ actually broke out yield-wise above the 2000 high. And started another leg up. Now it's coming back down to where it broke out from. So either it holds this level or the NASDAQ's coming off pretty good. And I'm going to key off of that as one of my tells for the market holding this next break and rallying again in the year end or not. Mm-hmm. The S&Ps have not taken out the 2018 high, made a lower high in this year, and then they broke, and they made another lower high. So as far as the yield, it's not confirming more up yet. But if this chart ever breaks out, you know, the S&Ps will go parabolic. So these are just some of the indicators that I look at to try to get a sense of what's going on, mm-hmm, and how we're moving from A to B and whether you can get away with buying strength or not.
Interesting. And if we could come back to the commodities space, could you take a look at copper?
Well, the first thing you want to look at is copper in yuan. And this has just been bottoming out around its 200-day moving average. And it hasn't been really going anywhere. If you look, the copper itself, you know, got a little toppy at the end of October, mm-hmm, and it's back down into the support area. So what's interesting to me is that, you know, I'm trying to line it up with Southern Copper, and uh you know, Freeport doesn't look great. You know, that's got to prove that it can get out of this range. The rest of the copper miners don't act that well. And I think part of that's, you know, just China's housing problems. And we're going into the winter months up north, so there's going to be less construction in the U.S. and Canada.
And what are your thoughts on, like, in the energy space, oil and natural gas?
Well, this says it all right there. Oil and yuan. You know, they had one negative day, and then it just started right back up again. And when you look at oil, right around 86 is the level where I'm kind of focused on here. Because above that, then I think you're going to get a move back to 99 and a half again, and maybe higher. So you just have to look at life of oil. And we're right into the fibs right there. Mm-hmm. So it needs above 86 to really get going. But I'm bullish energy. Nat gas doesn't act as well. You know, that originally led. And now that's... you know, consolidating on the longer time frame charts.
Yeah.
I don't think it goes back under 4.5 again, but that doesn't mean it can't go back down there. I think you have to look at, you know, Wednesday or Thursday lows in the energy space to pick up names. Chevron today acted pretty well off the lows. But this has had such a big move, a big 2-month move. I don't like to chase stuff at the top of a pattern like this. You know, it's just not backing off and letting you get back in. But seasonally, it's the right thing to be, is long energy.
Interesting. Any thoughts or views on emerging markets, like particular countries?
Oh, I'm just leaving them all alone. I think that, you know, I haven't really gone through my emerging markets. I think you're better off staying in the U.S. right now. I know a lot of people won't agree with me, but you know, we had a long discussion today about what would happen if volatility ever picked up in the currency markets. And with the possibility of a new Fed chairman, I would prefer to have my money in the U.S. Because if they start devaluing the dollar, that's going to hit all emerging markets. They won't be able to service their debt.
Is that if the dollar gets stronger or weaker?
If the dollar starts to strengthen too much, it's going to affect the debt service in emerging markets.
Yeah.
So since I don't know what I want to do with the dollar, and the dollar's been basically in coma for a long time, I just assume stay here where you can manage your risk.
Is it difficult to discern from the technical indicators the direction of the US dollar for the medium term and long term?
Oh, it just hasn't done anything. We're down at the 200-week moving average in the bottom of the cloud in the euro. And, you know, it's trying to make up its mind on the monthly. This is just a huge sideways pattern for the last 5-6 years. You know, typically, if you go back and look at this, you know, in the 80s, the 70s, the 80s, and even the mid-90s, we had wild moves in the currencies. You know, huge moves. We're not seeing these moves over the last 5-6 years. The Fed's got the currency market in a coma. When the currencies pick up, that's when we'll start to get some really interesting trades.
And are there any indications of that currently or potentially in the near future?
No, I don't see anything here. I think it's going to take in the next year into a new Fed to see who's going to be the Fed chair. And, what really happens with QE. Because so far, everybody's saying that they want to stop quantitative easing, but yet the rates keep going lower. And the rates keep going lower. When I look at European debt, if I look at the Italians, they're up at an area where I think they're way overbought. You know, this is a rollover gap from June. It took 5 months in one ECB meeting to come down and fill that gap. So it's really a technical trade. Now I'm looking at the Bund. You know, you basically had, that was December. In September, there was a 200-point discount to the SEP to the DEIS Bunds. Now the Bunds are trying to come back up and go back to this area. The Bunds come up here, our 30-year is not going to break. So you have to go back and look at the European debt and how it's trading from point A to point B to see how our 30-year bond futures are trading. And the hedge fund guys only trade from a fundamental basis. They don't look at a chart because they know better, and you wonder why they're all posting losses.
Great. And in terms of overall, as a summary, which sectors or asset classes do you see as the lowest risk, highest probability opportunities for trades?
Well, right now, it's still, you know, the Russell's been the better trade because the Russell has been, you know, finally broken out of this huge sideways pattern it's had for months. You know, this is almost a year-long sideways pattern it finally broke out of. So you have to wait for the breaks in this. It's Russell Value. And Russell Growth still looks pretty good. Although Russell Growth hasn't made a new high. Russell Value has. So it's going to be, we're spending more time looking at small cap stocks.
Great. And also in the commodity space, where do you see the best potential opportunities based on the indicators?
I just think it's going to be a big range trade. I think it's just going to be a big back and forth rangy trade. You know, the interesting thing here is how far cryptos come. And crypto's another one of these asset classes that the younger generation is basically buying crypto instead of gold. So they're all attracted to crypto. I have higher targets in crypto. But again, this is just one more thing where you have to buy it when nobody wants it on a break. You know, the short-term targets are around 72,000 in Bitcoin. You know, you can get to 6,000 in Ethereum and higher, but it's just, you know, I'm just watching it to see how it moves from point A to point B. That's all I'm doing.
Well, very, very interesting analysis. How can our listeners learn more about your work, Judd?
You can come in for a month-long trial into Judd's room. Go to whitewavetradingstrategies.com and just put your name and an email in. And you'll get on a be put on a distribution list, and you'll get an invite for the room in the morning. You know, Ira comes in once in a while to talk. We have a lot of RIAs in the room. People, they're options traders, they're day traders. So it's a very eclectic mix across the board of different trading strategies. So the conversation is always great.
Yeah, absolutely. Awesome. Thank you so much, Chad, for coming on to the program show today. We'll do it again. Thank you.
Thank you, Richard. It's always a pleasure.